Is this hearable? I think this is audible.
Hello.
I'm here to introduce you to both Tara Strong and Tabitha St. Germain on my left here.
Hi.
There's the real one. Well, here's the real Tara Strong.
Hello.
All right, well, everybody give a round of applause, at least for Serial and Seth from EQD.
Mr. and Mr. not appearing on this panel. We're just here to crash it. We should probably leave.
All right, so obviously, Nicole Oliver. And joining us on stage, Tabitha St. Germain.
Hello.
Andrea Libman. And Kathy Westlock. Good afternoon, ladies.
Good afternoon. We're busy.
Do you need a moment?
Hi.
So as she just noted, my name is Final Draft. I'm with Everfree Network. And this is the main six panel. I've been excited.
A dragon and a princess.
Sorry.
I've been excited for this panel actually because, yeah, this is the first panel that we've had after the season three finale. So I've only got a couple of questions before I open it up to Q&A. So there'll be more time for Q&A on this panel than some of the others. But I guess my first question is for the whole panel. It's somewhat aimed towards you, Tara, for obvious reasons. What is your reaction to the season finale? I mean, you've known about it for a while, but you know, it's kind of a big thing to have happen in a show, a character to get wings and all.
What happened?
Well, your character.
Oh.
Your character became a princess.
Oh, okay. Okay. First of all, I thought it was incredibly well done, and I loved the episode, and I've got a lot of great feedback, and I got a letter from a little girl that burst into tears when she got her wings. And I do see why the fans are concerned, but let me say that I am not changing anything about my performance. She's staying with her friends, so at this point, to leave the fandom just because she has wings is sort of leaving it based on how she looks. So don't do that, because she's still Twily.
I don't think many people have been doing that.
I mean, I've seen some negative stuff, and I get it, because we know her like Twily, and we love her, but think of how many adorkable moments there'll be with her learning how to fly.
Well, and I think the thing is, yeah, I mean, the fans have a set idea of what the characters are, you know, and when they go through a big change like that, of course there's going to be, you know, some reaction. But I, at least personally, I've been wearing this button all convention, the I Believe in M.A. Larson button. I think that, yeah, I have faith in the creators, at least from my perspective. But for the rest of you on the panel here, I mean, when you saw what was going to happen with Twilight in this episode, or in the season finale episode, what was your reaction? You know, how did you gauge it?
I thought she asked for more money and they kicked her out.
So you didn't ask why Rarity didn't get wings or something?
No.
I suppose you already voice, say, Alicorn, you know, Luna and all.
I just saw someone new to dress.
You have to tweak some of her outfits, that's all.
That's
put
right.
Some holes in some of them shirts.
I really like it. I think it's awesome because I don't know. I always dreamed about being a princess, and wouldn't it be nice if being a princess was something that you could earn rather than being magical or something? So, I don't know. I think it's wonderful, and Twilight is very deserving, and she's a wonderful princess.
I think Spike's initial reaction was,
No!
Because he doesn't know what his fate is, you see. So I think that's, yeah. But I'm happy to see that she graduated to that, and I think she deserved it.
Hi. No, I think it's great. I mean, you know, our children all have to grow up a little bit at some time. So I think it's just kind of mirrors what happens in life. Well, we all go through transitions. Some are a little easier than others, but there's always a great lesson at the end. And now she's got wings. So I don't know. I think there's lots of great adventures ahead.
Well, I think in your case, though, Nicole, you know, it was a good thing for you because you got a chance for Celestia to sing in that episode. And I think everybody here loved your performance. I know I did. Of course, you've been doing a lot of singing for Littlest Pet Shop as well, but was there any difference in how you approached it for this episode?
Well, I don't sing Littlest Pet Shop. They hired a top 40 singer because they wanted that top 40 vibe. Her name is Elise Estrada. She's amazing. But for singing for Celestia, it's always difficult. I mean, it wasn't a song where I could sing in a funny voice. I mean, it was a serious song. It felt like a big Broadway ballad that was going to bring it home, so really no pressure. But it was a beautiful. Danny is incredibly talented. He wrote a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful lyric and a beautiful melody. And Jason Thiessen was a great music producer in the room. So, you know, we did that in like under 30 minutes, believe it or not.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah. So it was. I think it was fitting. It was dramatic. It was fitting, and we'll see what other dramatic moments have to come along for her to sing again.
Yeah. That was an ominous hint there.
I have no idea. I don't know. Don't look, Moose.
I think he's conducting interviews upstairs. Well, and another question I want to ask, since you two are getting along so nicely now, what did it take to convince Tabitha to get on Twitter? Because she's finally there, and she's a genius on there.
Okay, first of all, she did not give me any kudos or any credit, and she did not do it because of me, near me, with me, inspired by me, nothing to do with me. We are duking it out later at Tao if you want to watch.
In some mud. It's gonna be awesome. Be there or be square.
I actually didn't. Take her down. I didn't really believe it was you at first.
Well, I'm never really me, so that's true.
But I really had to ask you, is this really you?
Yes.
Because there are some fake celebrities you know on Twitter.
There's some fake me's. I know, because I looked for my name, and
right.
I couldn't have my name. That's why I became a saint. I'm now sainted. Saint Tabitha. Saint of the goats.
Seems legit.
I saw a bottle of wine. I saw a bottle of wine that was from the Saint Germain winery or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's out there.
It's a really nice liqueur. If you drink, I have no idea why a person would do such a thing.
These things are known to happen. Well, so looking at the overarching, at season three as a whole, the last time that everyone here was together was in EQLA last November, right when the season began. But now that the season's over and we can talk about it in a little more detail, I wanted to know what changed, if anything, about the process of voicing the show for season three as opposed to, say, season one or two. I mean, was there any difference in how you approached it? You know, did it present any new challenges for you? And this is kind of to the entire group.
Fine. I think it's just more natural because we're so comfortable with our characters now and we know them so well. And it's so nice to go in and read the script and usually they're just perfectly written, really good. And every once in a while you say, oh, I think my character maybe would say this instead because you just know them inside out. So it's really comfortable, but I thought season three was great. Still lots of new stuff, very creative and lots of fun.
I totally agree. I think that we've done it now for this long, so we all feel comfortable with each other and in our characters, and I think the writers know what we're going to do also. They've heard us, so it does make it easier. And I know for Spike, too, I've done a little bit of singing, so we'll see. But anyway, that was fun. So those kinds of things are morphing, and the storyline's morphing, and we're just all more comfortable. So it's there's more flow happening. So it's great. It's a lot of fun. And the writers are fantastic. They're just great.
Yeah, what she said.
Because we are one.
Well, I've asked this before, but I'll ask it again. Now that it's season three is over and the Brony phenomenon is now pushing 2 years, more than 2 years actually, pushing 3 years of being around, so it's less of a shock. Has the knowledge of these guys here and out in the world, has that affected how you perform on the show? Do you treat it differently than you may have done before? Or when you walk in on a Pony recording session, do you think to yourself, there's this whole fan base out there that's going to listen to what I'm saying? Has it affected it at all, or do you try to keep a professional separation?
Well, I think for me, for anything, I do a lot of on-camera work, and so sometimes there's a big lag between, and even in animation, between when you actually are part of the creative process and when you all get to see it. So because we're where we are at in our seasons, and we're continuing to move forward, we're creating as you're watching, so there's this great feedback loop happening. So to get sort of the personal feedback, especially with Twitter and social media, I don't know how many emails or tweets I got from people expressing the song, at any rate, how much that impacted them, what it meant to them. I had a lot of teachers write to me about how, as teachers, it was meaningful, because often when your year's over, you watch your children go up a grade or go off to college, and how that made them feel really strong and successful. It felt like they'd been a part of something bigger than themselves. So, yeah, I'm aware of it, and it fuels me in a positive way. And I love how Brony is anything from 0 to 100 and beyond. Boys, girls, men, women. And I just think it's a really amazing, you guys are really great. Yeah, you're really great.
They're all right.
It sounded like everybody wanted.
You're okay.
Awesome, bro.
I love that there. Everybody was kind of wanting to do that awe moment, but nobody wanted to really do it. So it's just kind of this like half awe. But anyway, well, like I said, I wanted to open this panel up to more Q&A than previous panels, because I know you guys have a lot of questions, especially about season three. And of course, we've got some great voices up here. So
before we begin.
Here's the deal. If there are any kids who have questions, they get to go to the front of the line. If there are any questions about season 4, 5, 6, 7, 20, they can't answer them. Sorry. I wish they could. Try to keep it clean, and my good friend Bones right there will ask you what you're going to ask, just to make sure it's not too out of line. So, and half the room gets in line. All right, so.
For Tara Strong, I just want to say you're amazing. And I was thinking, how do you feel about the guy who acts as your brother on the TV show? Like, do you feel like a family with all the people that you act with?
You know, thank you. You're awesome, too. I unfortunately don't get to work with the other guys because I'm in LA and they're all in Vancouver. But as you can see, and that as you've met them, they're all really wonderful. And when I am watching the show, I'm just like you, and I love to see their relationship and see how that's grown. And it was cute when you got a little emotional for me in the last episode. And they've got a really nice bond. And I've heard other people say that their bond as brother and sister helps them in their family too. So I quite like how they've animated him and how he interacts with me. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Okay. And also, do you believe that friendship really is magic?
Of course I do.
All
is an alicorn. Do you like it? You do? Doesn't she look pretty? Dear Princess Celestia, she likes my wings. Why does Rudy go crazy in the first show of season 3?
I have no idea what you mean.
I really don't. I don't remember the episode. Ah, it's the crystal episode. Oh, yes. Well, I mean the stresses, the work that I have to do, the lack of appreciation, the lack of funds, the lack of time, the lack of brain power. I could go on.
First of all, I just want to say that I love all of you equally, and you're all amazing. But what advice do you have for someone that wants to be a voice actor when they're older?
Never been asked that before.
Start now. With that voice, start now. Yeah. Seriously. Whatever you want to do, you're the only one that can stop you from doing it, right? And you've got a beautiful voice. So get involved. Take some classes. Sing in the shower. Talk out loud. Let people
For the record, you don't get cast singing in the shower.
Yeah, well. No. We got well, there was that time. No, but you know. Inappropriate humor. Yeah. Shh. Shh. But seriously, whatever you... I love you.
Mama,
I love you,
Mama,
too.
I do. Mama.
Whatever you... it's you want to do this with that voice? Start now. Okay. Why not? Right? It's a little bit of fun. And yeah, sky's the limit. Go for it.
Thank you.
And your hair is pretty.
Hi, ladies. I am Couch Crusader, and I represent Equestria Daily, and I have two questions for you. I hope you don't mind. So this first question is directed to Kathy. It appears that over the course of Spike's episodes, which are in my notes, like Feeling Pinky Keen, All's Well That Ends Well, Secret of Excess, Dragon Quest, Crystal Empire, and Just for Sidekicks, he always gets into these life and death situations, and I kind of wonder what Spike thinks about the writers always trying to kill him in his episodes.
Spike bounces back. He's the hero. The thing I love about the writers and how they're sort of setting him up for these funny things is that the writers put him in such a position where he's always under the gun. So he's always in some kind of an emotional, you know, dilemma where he has to solve the problem. And he just goes with bravery, and he's just like any little child that just feels what they feel. So if he's nervous, he says it. If he's angry, he says it. But his innocence is just so pure that's what sort of brings you connected to him. And then when he ends up saving the day simply by being himself, it's sort of all the more endearing. It's a purity that the others have, but not as the same as Spike being a little boy. So I don't think he has thoughts about the writers, but just rarity. Rarity. Anyway, but I love it because it gives me a chance to be in a more dramatic kind of, you know, on the spot position, and that's always fun to play as him. So hopefully there'll be, you know, we'll see that happen. But the season 3 with him, especially in the show where he was babysitting the animals, was so much fun because it just went on and on and on, and I thought he was just going to fall apart at one point. But all I can say is, Angel.
Thank you, Kathy.
I
believe that your work goes underappreciated in this fandom.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. And my second question goes to Andrea. Oh, God, I'm shaking all over the place. I was wondering...
So am I!
I was wondering, as Pinkie Pie, could you say the following line?
Okay.
I successfully bedazzled my face.
I successfully bedazzled my face!
Thank you!
Oh,
All right. First, I'd just like to thank all of you for gracing us lowly mortals with your presence. We would not have this fandom if it wasn't for this cycle of love we've got going. Secondly, I want to inform Tabitha, you play my favorite pony and favorite princess.
Wow.
But the rest of this is for Nicole Oliver.
Careful.
They're
now.
All on guard now. Next, you're gonna be like, I've got a question.
Now comes the bomb. Yes, go. I'm ready.
So, Discord and Celestia have a history. Do you think there's any chance, at some point in the past, or maybe in the future, that it could be romantic?
Ooh. That question comes from fanfics.
That would be a great storyline, wouldn't it? That really would. I love John. He's kind of yummy. Smells nice. Anything's possible. Go talk to the writers. They're over there.
Sounds great. I like to think that the whole Discord going crazy trying to mess everything up was because they broke up.
Oh. Hmm. You'd be a writer.
Look at Moose!
You know, one of the funny things, too, is I'm speaking for myself, is that I haven't even seen all the shows in season three yet. I mean, we recorded these, and I haven't had a chance because it's been busy, but I have to try to remember when, I mean, I've seen some of the Spike ones that was previously mentioned, a couple of them, two or three of them, but I still haven't seen the rest of season three, so I'm still trying to think about the other shows that are coming up, and when you mention different things, it's like, oh, and we have to go back digging into our, you know, all the encyclopedias in our mind as to that particular show.
Hi. Oh, God, you're all such amazing people. Can I just say that? My question is to... Andrea, so in the season finale, Pinkie Pie, when she had Applejack's cutie mark, I think I noticed a hint of a southern accent there. Could we get another sample of that?
I haven't watched that episode yet.
Hi. Okay, so my question is for the people who voice actor the princesses. With the Brony phenomenon having grown as big as it is, and not just that, but just the pony fandom in general, we're getting really big, and sometimes the pony fandom gets, like, very big for its britches and very out of control. So, I wanted to ask the princesses, for the future, considering that we have a new princess, what would each of you advise the Bronies? How would you advise them for the future if you could give them one piece of advice?
I like a word called flexibility, right? So, and we'll just leave it there. But I would advise you all, you have to grow and you have to stretch. There's room for everything, there's room for everybody. If there wasn't room for everything and everybody, this would I'm just making it all personal. I saw drawings of me as a person today. The pony is a person. It's very confusing. But there's rooms for every pony in the fandom, and let's remember that should not change. I think that's one of the grounding, founding principles of this fandom. And so, there's so much space. There's so much room. Grow, 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 grow. Treat other people how you would like to be treated yourself.
I'm not a princess, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just want to say one thing about that, too, is that you guys, you bronies, are the ones that brought up the whole thing about friendship and tolerance and inclusion and patience and love and kindness. So don't forget ever who you really are and why you're here. And we thank you for that, too. I just wanted to say that.
Spike wants to be a princess. Princess Spike.
I think Luna would say, dream big.
That's it for me.
That was for you, too.
You're a princess.
You're a princess now.
You're a princess now, Tara, if you didn't know
it. I just said it wasn't going to change. my advice.
I think to ignore anyone that's being not nice, because the bad side of Twitter is you really see a lot of it, and it's so heartbreaking and weird, and there's some not nice people, so I automatically block someone if they say something not nice, because it just, I don't have room for that in my life. So I'd say to the bronies just to please ignore anyone not nice, because they are not worth your time or worthy of this princess or any other princess, and just keep on smiling and loving and laughing each other and what other more seasoned princesses have said.
Thank you.
This question is for Kathy Westluck. At the end of the Dragon Quest episode, Spike seemed to regard himself as some kind of honorary pony. So I was wondering, if given the opportunity by magic potions or whatever, would he want to physically become a pony for the rest of his life?
Wait a second, I gotta go way in there and think about that for a second.
I have to assume that Spike, I mean, I'll have to think about that. But basically, I think Spike is too brave and committed as a dragon. His whole thing about nobility and the code of the dragon and all of that. So he may want to be a pony for a day, but I think, you know, he's too involved in committing himself to being a helper and assisting everybody and, you know, the code of the dragon, nobility. So I think the pony thing rubs off on him because he's charmed by his friends, and he, you know, in that one episode where he had to choose between the ponies and the other dragons, it was the friendship and the familiarity of those guys that he just wanted to stay with. So maybe he can bring that into the Dragon Kingdom. Who knows?
Awesome.
Thank you.
Hi, Nicole Oliver. I know this is a little late, but I'd like to wish you a very happy birthday.
Thank you.
And with your permission, I think it'd be really cool if we all could sing happy birthday to you. So?
Sure. Go
yeah,
for it.
Yeah, it's my birthday too.
Yeah.
It's a week ago. Yes.
I'm 29.
So am I! All right, on the count of three, sing to us, please. One, two, three.
Happy birthday to you.
Ponies.
Happy birthday, dear Nicole.
Ponies.
Happy birthday to you.
And many more.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for all the work you've done.
Thank you.
Yay! It's like a big loving. It's awesome.
I have a question for all of you. What are your favorite episodes so far?
Favorite episode?
Of them all?
Yes.
Gosh. Well, I loved the last one. I really did. Well, the one where I sang, that one? Yeah, I love that one.
Okay, the one that she sang in. I like the one, I forget the title. That's the one that Spike babysat all the animals. What was the episode title? Thank you. Just for Psychics. That was the most fun for me.
I like Party of One.
I like the Dog and Pony Show and the one where Fluttershy and the dragon change voices.
I like the wedding episode and a little Lesson Zero.
Thank you.
I'm really nervous right now. My name is Andre Cruz, so sorry if I'm stuttering, but I really want, sorry for like breaking all the laughs, but I really want to take a serious question. So I really, as you guys know, bullying with like for being a brony is really rampant right nowadays on Facebook, Twitter, anywhere, YouTube, and then like it gets so bad to the point that my friend Kenneth, he can't even leave his house because he's a brony and he's scared to get bullied that he's a brony and stuff. So I'm my question to you guys is like first, what is your guys' view on like bullying because you're a brony or you like the show, and B, what are your tips to cope with that thing?
You know, I was bullied when I was smaller. I've been bullied as an adult. I think it's what, you know, Tara was saying, everyone else was saying. I don't think any of us up here have any patience for that at all. Bullies often are bullied themselves and probably could do with a really big hug. But that said, love who you are, know who your friends are. As my mom said, if you can count on one hand, those are your friends, you're such a rich person. But more importantly, love yourself and don't apologize. And bullying is just a waste of a word in space.
I wanted to say too, I totally agree with Nicole that it doesn't matter what age you are or what nationality or where you're from, it happens everywhere, in the office place, at school, everywhere. But I want, you know, one thing that I was always reminded of is remember where it's coming from, that it's not you. And a lot of people who simply don't understand react in fear. And when they're fearful, they tend to lash out, become angry, etc. In a way, it's them who has the hindrance and not you. And so if you can try to focus on that and have compassion for them and walk away from that and not engage and just remember who you are, that's what you would need to do. And band with the other bronies. Keep it strong. Don't forget who you are and why you became one. But think of where it's coming from and have compassion because they're the ones that don't understand.
And the one who smelled it, dealt it.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. My friend Kenneth would really appreciate it. Thank you, thank you.
Be proud of it.
And I would tell Kenneth, I would say, you know, look in this room here, right? Everybody here and everybody online is proof that those bullies are wrong.
And besides, there's way more of you than them.
All right. My question is for Tara Strong. Regarding Lesson Zero, where did you get the motivation to drive Twilight to that level of psychosis?
What are you talking about? You know, because how great the writers are in the show, they really sort of set the pace and the tone, and then we have to imagine in our heads what that would look like and sound like in real life, not just how a pony would do it. So when I'm Twilight, I'm like, wow, if she's really freaking out. And I've actually had a lot of people say to me, I related to you so much in Lesson Zero. Because when I can't control a situation or I'm not sure what's going, I feel like I'm out of my mind. And at the end of the day, she was really freaking out over nothing. And so a lot of people sort of have that and can relate to that. But to them in that moment, it's the biggest deal. So I just sort of became her in that moment and went cuckoo based on the dialogue that was written.
Okay, first a shout out from the Eddie and Eddie community to Tabitha S. Germain, who was season one Naz, I think.
Just in one episode.
Okay, and okay, now the question is for all of you. Would you all do a Twilight-licious thing with your characters, with Tara's going last?
Oh, they want you to make up a rap.
You don't have to do both your characters, but
you want them to make up a rap song or a song?
I think what he's asking is whether or not you're able to sing your own character's right. version of a Twilight-licious or Rarity-licious or Pinky-licious.
Yeah. Well, I'm Celestialicious and Cheerily-licious, and we're just going to leave it right there, darling.
She's so licious, she doesn't have to even sing about it.
Well, it's just really... It's just really hard to pronounce that anyway, right?
I think it sounds foodie. Foodie is one a potato, one is not.
Okay, thanks anyway.
That was a valiant effort.
Thank you.
No.
Maybe just hand them the mic, take it off the stand. Yeah.
There we go. Okay. So now that Twilight's an alicorn, yay, what would you all think, all of you up there, including you, not the one that's not a voice actor, forgot your name.
I'm just that guy.
Yeah, you're that one guy that's everywhere.
There was a drawing done of EQLA, and it was all the ponies up there, and all the and I was like, I was on that table too.
So yeah, now we're including you. Yeah. What do you all think Princess Twilight would encounter as for difficulties in the future, like in season 4 or 5, whatever, just in the future?
I think I might be the only one who can answer that because I'm a brony and I don't know what's coming up. If I had to guess, she's got wings and she's just now starting to fly. I can imagine they must do something with that. I mean, but she's a princess, so she's got to take on a more regal leadership role, I should think. I mean, and if I were a writer, I would try and write stories about the new responsibilities she has to face and, you know, how she can adorkably address them. That's how I would do it. I don't know.
Well said, Mike.
That was good, Mike.
Also, there is a moose somewhere up in that direction. He actually looked.
All right, thank you.
Hello and welcome here. Thank you for being here and partying with us bonies. Well, I always hate using the microphone system. The question is, you've seen how big the brony community is. You've seen what we've done. So on the waiting for season 4 to come out, what do you have any personal wants or challenges to the bronies for to create something, to come up with something while we're waiting for the season 4 to get here?
That sounds a lot like my evil question I've asked.
Do you have any wants or desires?
I'd like an island.
They actually had a Kickstarter for that at one point. Yeah, they were going to make a brony island. I don't know. Yeah.
Maybe a brony cruise would be easier.
Probably.
I would say just to continue being the wonderful bronies that you are, continue, you know, with the inspiration you're getting from the show and banding together, creating your creative arts and the things that you do, and just keep producing the goodness that the show, you know, is all about, and share it with each other. And, you know, for us to, we're just happy that you guys are there, that you're supporting the show, that it's affected you the way it has. And I think all of that just radiates by itself. So continue being happy and doing your thing.
Thank you.
We've got a question from upstairs.
Hi.
Oh, wow.
I have about a dozen bronies in Czech Republic watching you live right now on a big screen in a pub at 1 a.m. And they, I have a question.
Hi, Janos.
I love Prague as a city. I've been there. It's awesome.
Oh, Prague loves you. So I wanted to ask you, My Little Pony was translated into many languages. And how do you feel about hearing? You probably heard some other voice actors speaking your roles in other languages. So what do you think about it? Maybe about songs?
I heard the German girl do Twilight-licious. That was funny. I haven't heard any of the shows, though. Have you guys?
Not in other languages, but I think it'd be kind of cool. I've only had the experience of seeing the Muppet Show in Portugal.
You're going on a tangent again.
You're off course.
Por cochin espacio.
That was very strange.
Yeah. I can't wait to hear it in Japanese. Oh, yeah. It's going to be crazy.
I've seen clips. It's really cool.
I'd like That's to, what you meant,
I'd
right?
I'd love to meet all the other actors that are voicing us. I think that would be really cool if we could all get together and...
Well, I know that there are some conventions happening overseas that some people may or may not show up at, so, you know.
Well, yeah, you never know.
You never know.
Thank you, Czech Republic and everyone else
Actually,
all around the world.
Actually, Czech Republic, I have a question for you. How come Kathy got chocolates from Switzerland, but I didn't? But she let me eat one.
And you know what? I even offered her one, and she took it, and she said that.
So
yeah, it was delicious.
So I have more Swiss chocolate.
Yeah.
Up okay.
Here
see
in
you.
The sky
see
bowl.
You later.
Thank you.
See you in 10. Okay. Thank you.
So first off, I just want to say happy birthday to Tara and Nicole.
Thank you.
And my question is for Kathy and Tabitha. Your characters Rarity and Spike have somewhat of a relationship on the show and a relationship all over the internet. How awkward...
See how things get around.
How awkward is it knowing that your two characters have a relationship?
It's really awkward in the studio for me. I don't know.
We use Andrea as a buffer zone.
It's part of the show, and we just do the roles that are in the show. It doesn't bleed past that.
Exactly how much is on the internet? What's going on?
I don't know.
You want to ask that question?
Oh, now we have to go look.
Okay.
Or not.
Okay. Actually, this leads into an interesting question, and then we'll get to you in just a second. Well, why don't you ask first?
This is a question for Pinkie Pie. In the very first episode of season 3, Pinkie Pie really wants to have a flugelhorn. If there was actually such thing as a flugelhorn, would you actually want one?
There is such a thing as a flugelhorn, and I want one. I want a flugelhorn.
There actually is such a thing as a flugelhorn. If anybody looks it up, it's like a bass form of a trumpet. It's a lower form of trumpet.
It doesn't sound like Andrea.
No, it doesn't.
It's pretty much the opposite.
Okay. This is for Tabitha. I bet you can't tell that what my favorite character is. But
that's awesome.
If Luna could have like a singing role, what kind of song would it be?
Mm. Wow. Well, I think it would probably be a song somebody else sang. Considering the history of things. I don't know.
Moon River. Wider than...
A princess wants to be a princess.
Okay, I don't know if you guys heard it earlier in the panel, but they were joking. They said, oh yeah, Spike wants to be a princess. And then I think it was Nicole who said off mic, they got to make a drawing of that. You got to make a drawing of that, Princess Spike. Come on, guys. If it hasn't been done yet,
now
maybe
there
it
are
has.
Going to be so many pictures
Just
of
be
Princess
gentle.
Spike.
Thank you, and also I have a DeviantArt. I shall make a picture.
Yeah. Awesome.
All
right, so knowing that alicorns have a tendency to live for very long periods of time, does that now mean that Twilight might live for a very long time?
Yes.
Thank you.
That's kind of a question for the... authors. Actually, before we get to you, there's a question from upstairs.
Hi there. Now that we've heard Celestia sing, I was wondering when we were going to hear Luna sing.
Wow. That's kind of up to the writers, though, isn't it?
Please refer to the comment 2.5 seconds ago.
Please hang up and try your question again.
This is a question for all the panel, but mostly directed towards Tara Strong. What does it feel like knowing that you've influenced so many people's childhood through your voice acting from the past till now?
Well, I think we're so lucky, sorry, that we live in an age where we know that, because I started when I was 13 and we didn't know that people really responded. And now with Twitter and the internet and Facebook, people say, you are my childhood and I love you and you helped me through such hard times. And it's very rewarding as a voiceover actor to know that we've touched so many people's lives. And when the fans tell us that, what's that? That's not good.
It's BronyCon all over again.
Is that
fire alarm?
BronyCon all over again.
I'm hoping that's a special effect.
Now what?
Are you serious?
What is that?
That's a fire alarm.
Hey. Okay, time to go. Anyway, we love it.
Love you.
Oh, boy.
Everybody just...